The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Brock Purdy, QB1, we think, for the San Francisco 49ers, has been clear.
Kind of.
And has no restrictions, according to John Lynch, or does he?
Brock's cleared and ready to go. He's been cleared. He's going to be without restrictions. Now, having said that, we're sticking and we're adhering to a plan that's been put in place for some time. And he got after it the last couple of days. We upped his pitch count, so it was kind of the peak of the buildup. And so he'll take off day one. But you know, we believe in that plan. So he's cleared without restriction. There will be some time off, you know, due to pitch count and all that. Sticking to the plan. But the great news is Brock has worked his tail off, and he's ready to go.
That is great news.
It is. But I did see somewhere it was like 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on.
That's a restriction.
It is a restriction. And, I mean, it does, whether you like it or not. I mean, if Lance is all 3 days or all days and Darnold's all days and Brandon Allen's, I mean, there is an opportunity there for other people, whether or not there is a legitimate opportunity or not, I don't know. But other people have to take those reps.
And, oh, by the way, a little bit of no need for that, but breaking news, just real quick for the baseball San Francisco Giants. Marco Luciano, their number one prospect and Sacramento River Cat for the last six games, has been called up to the show.
Hey.
And, I mean, it's
that's respect to the A's.
I don't know if he's going to make it there tonight. It's a long trip, but maybe if Amtrak gets him there, which is sure exactly how he'll be traveling from Sacramento. I think the River Cats, aren't they on the road? Because I know he just hit a giant dong last night. That thing was huge. That thing, did you see the highlight? Oh, my God. Okay. You know what? Okay.
What did he do?
He hit a long home run last night, and it went far.
Okay. That's what you said.
Guys, I hate you all, and also myself. Anyways.
Wait, is Chris here? No. But he's on his way in, so he heard it.
That's gonna happen. Congratulations to Marco Luciano, who is
love those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope may very well make his debut tonight.
Is he on a pitch count?
Well, and so I don't want to give John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan too much credit, but let's just have a little fun exercise here. If you wanted to make sure you're trying to keep everybody in the quarterback room happy and you got three guys that have like legit thoughts of starting this year, you have the surprise underdog who is technically QB1. You have the draft baby who is right there in Trey Lance, who's got hurt last year, was the incumbent. Everybody was all over Trey Lance, and then Mr. Irrelevant comes in. And then you've got the former draft baby who's been playing in not one but two football hells and is determined at 25, 26 years old to show the world that he's the guy. And according to Matt Maiocco, the best thrower in the history of the Niners and Sam Darnold. So if you're John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, maybe this is the genius move, as you say, Brock's our guy, but we're keeping him on a pitch count. Because we know that if we do that, we can tip our cap to you're the guy, Brock, but we're protecting you. But at the same time, now that's going to – it's better than saying, yeah, Brock's probably our guy, but we need to make sure that Lance and Darnold get reps because they might look better. It's better to say you're on a pitch count because we're protecting you, and that's going to, as you said, open up more room for Lance, open up more room for Darnold. And, hey, if, you know, next thing you know, maybe we hear, oh, Sam Darnold or Trey Lance or – taking some more reps with the first team. And then you, what I do is this. In all of my years of NFL coaching, I have found this, Jason, to be the best policy when you have a situation like this. Every single time I've had a Super Bowl caliber team on both offense and defense, but have simply been missing a quarterback, yet I have three perhaps usable quarterbacks in the quarterback room, the best way to do it is this. I give them all around the same amount of reps with the first team and the second team. I rotate them throughout training camp, preseason, all of that. The day before, the week before the game, game one. Mm. Silent ballot.
Yeah.
Team votes. Offense. Offensive linemen, receivers, tight ends. Shouldn't that be how it is? The players decide who they want throwing them the ball. And then not only who is better equipped to determine whether or not a quarterback is good than the players blocking for him and receiving from him and running for him, but also it gives the players ownership in the decision. And now you've got the locker room. And if he sucks, it's not your fault. You stupids are the ones that picked him. Solved problem.
In all the times that you were a coach, that's what you've done.
All of them. And you, well, I will tell you this, and this is a fact. This is on my kids. Not once has that failed when I've done it.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do if you're these guys?
Yeah, I can't. There's no other situation in the NFL like this, right?
No.
Where you have a Super Bowl caliber team that, honestly, I do think it's fair to say, I really think all three guys could start.
I agree with you. I don't know if they'll be as good as the other, but
right.
I think the 49ers are going to finish above 500 comfortably with all three guys.
Honestly, with Brandon Allen, too, I think.
You're honestly.
Because was that different than Brock Purdy? If you think situationally,
yeah.
A lot of people, if we backtrack to last season, when they decided to keep Brock Purdy, it was a little bit of a surprise because who was in camp? Nate Sudfeld. I think there was just more experience if they were going to keep another quarterback, but they kept him. And then when Lance got hurt, and then Jimmy G got hurt, there was talk like season's over. It felt like it. I mean, they had the slow start, and they were starting to get hot. But then, you know, it's like this is going to be tough. I mean, Brock Purdy, man, I don't know the card they were dealt here.
Yeah.
And then he did play well,
Mr. Irrelevant coming in to save our season. Yeah. We're screwed,
right? And so that's all here. They've all seen it. They all obviously groomed him up, and he was ready to go, and he responded beautifully. Gets hurt. Now, if he's clear, that's a great sign. But, I mean, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is going into this in an open mind. And why I say there's no other situation like this, it's not like Brock Purdy or any of the other two are Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert. Pick your quarterback where you go, no, that's our guy. We might have a good backup. But there's no debate in some of these other camps that even if they've got a really good backup, the guy is the guy. Like, their number one guy, there's not even a hesitation. Here, I think there's question just because of, well, one, you picked Lance, this organization picked Lance the highest.
Right.
Brock Purdy was picked last. And then Sam Darnold has the most experience and was formerly a high pick. So, yes. I mean, there's probably reasons to be made for all of them. But does it at all feel to you, Dave, that like this? Like at one point, Tom Brady was still the guy that was picked in the sixth round.
That's right.
Even when he got the opportunity and played really well and there was probably some debate, like Bledsoe or him. Brady's really looking good. This guy, wow, what a find. He's pretty nice. And then it was like, okay, no, Brady's a legend. Like it took time, but I feel like we've already bumped, not Purdy to Tom Brady, but it's like, oh, it's his job. Should it be?
Do you think that there is a circle? I mean, we go back to Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
and you and I are both old enough to remember the big argument there. Was not just Drew Bledsoe being the golden boy out of Washington State and who had been played for a few years, was regarded as a good quarterback,
yeah.
but also injuries should not lose you your job. That was the big debate.
Right.
Nobody is debating that Tom Brady for Drew Bledsoe was a bad move now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. So did we learn from that injury, regardless, doesn't matter as far as losing your job if the other guy is better?
I guess the question is, how many games did it take to know? And maybe this is enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, in total, Brock Purdy has started 8 games.
And
eight. Trey Lance hasn't played 8 games in his career as a starter.
No, he has not. And by the way, in games that Brock Purdy has started and finished for the 49ers, in those 8 games, he's undefeated. He hasn't lost.
With the exception of the playoff
games. In games that he started and finished.
You're right.
He's undefeated.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not here to tell you that they would have beaten the Eagles.
Right.
They lost 31-7, but I'm not going to tell you they would have lost.
Yeah, but we also just got done with the era of Jimmy G won at a very high clip, mm-hmm. and other people are like, that's fraudulent. Those numbers. He wasn't that great of a quarterback. Now, I think Purdy's done a decent amount mm-hmm. in his short time, but also, like, if you just go to stats,
yeah,
and that's totally unfair, He has one 300-yard game.
That's right, against the Seahawks in that 41-23 win. That was the wild card. That was in the playoffs, 214 the following game. Yeah. And then,
but he's made some throws. I mean, he's been good.
He has. They were 7. Now, it's important to remember, they were 7-4 when Brock Purdy started. 7-4, and they had won 4 in a row coming off that blowout at home against Kansas City. Garoppolo and the Niners had beaten the Rams. They got a bye week, beat the Chargers, beat Arizona, shut out New Orleans. As a matter of fact, between Arizona and New Orleans, they had won those last two games 51-10. Purdy comes in. Remember that game against Miami at home?
Yeah.
And I want to say they were dogs slightly. Might in have that been. Game. 33-17. Oh, wow. Good job. And then they just throttled the Buccaneers in Tom Brady's big return home. And I still to this day don't think that we don't have enough fun with that. Mr. Irrelevant coming in and in his second game is playing the greatest player to ever play, Mose, who was the closest thing we've ever had to a Mr. Irrelevant that had success. I mean, that's almost like a Disney movie, what happened there. And I'd pay good money to hear what Tom Brady said to Brock Purdy specifically after the game. But I know this sounds silly, but what if that's like a passing of the torch? I can't sit here and tell you that.
Yeah, could be.
I'm pretty confident Brock Purdy's not going to be Tom Brady, but I can't tell you that Brock Purdy's not going to win 3 championships and that he's not going to end up being a Hall of Famer. I don't know.
Right.
I do know that they're 8-0 in games he started and finished. And I think the rule is this. No matter what happens, unless you went out and got Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or, you know, 4 or 5 other quarterbacks, when you have Trey Lance who has no experience and you have Sam Darnold who has crap experience and you've got a guy who's 8-0, that's probably your QB1. Until he's not.
Yeah.
And that's the most important 3 words. Until he's not. You're QB1, and I'm not saying I'm going to pull you after one bad series or even 1 or 2 bad games, but I have the opportunity here. I think that's important. We'll take a break. Coming up next, we're going to talk about those expectations for Brock Purdy. What needs to happen for him? When you look at the schedule, what is a success for Brock Purdy specifically beyond wins? Don't forget, Niners at 9. We're going to have all kinds of follow-up as well from 9 to 9:30 as we're gearing up our Niner coverage. In the meantime, I want to welcome back our good friend Roy from Roy's Umbrella. You've heard Roy's Umbrella on this station for many, many, many years. And Roy's back, and he's chosen this show to come back to, and we really appreciate that. The only thing better than new friends are old friends. And I want to take a moment. I want to thank Roy. I want to thank ACR Solar. I want to thank Hoblet. I want to thank Crumble Cookies, Fire Wings, and all of our partners that have teamed up on this morning show to allow us to bring you this fine content each and every day from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sacktown Sports. Roy knows what he's doing. Roy has a long history and reputation in this town. Almost certainly, if you're a 1140 listener, you know who I'm talking about. You remember him from a couple years ago, and now he is back with the real estate market all over the place right now. Roy is coming in with his cape and his magic wand to help you pick the best choice for you, whether it's purchase, debt consolidation, or so much more. And he's going to educate you. And that's one of the things I always loved the most about Roy's commercials, is that they weren't commercials so much as they were mini seminars done in 60 seconds, letting you know how to make the right decision. And you know what? Some people took that advice and they went to another lender. And that's why Roy always says, whether you use me or somebody else, make the right decision. Almost to make the right decision, which is kind of funny. 916-997-4434. 916-997-4434 if you have questions. Roy'sUmbrella.com. Roy'sUmbrella.com is the website. And, of course, you tell him your good buddy Carmichael Dave sent you. So what is the expectation for Brock Purdy in year two? If he went 8-0 in games he started and finished last year, including 2-0 in the playoffs, anything less than 15 wins? I honestly, personally think, I've said it before, I'll keep repeating it. If this team stays relatively healthy at the important spots, if they're not losing Trent Williams for 8 games, if all 3 of the quarterbacks don't go down, if Debo and Brandon Ayuk don't crash into each other Because I think they can handle an injury, two or three here and there. But if they're relatively healthy, I honestly do think the over-under on wins for this team is 14.
Wow.
I do.
Yeah.
They're an incredibly stacked team.
So let me ask you this scenario. Last year, game one was that monsoon in Chicago. Yep. Trey Lance didn't play very well. The team didn't play very well. It's a bad loss. Mm-hmm. Game one this year is in Pittsburgh. Assuming, you know, good to go, everybody's healthy, and Brock Purdy has the same type of game one that Trey Lance did last year in Chicago, but has it in Pittsburgh,
uh-huh.
and the 49ers lose that game.
Yeah.
Just a loss? Keep it moving? Because he was still the quarterback the next week. He got hurt in week two, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I mean, he was QB1. There was no debate. It was like Garoppolo's the backup.
That's right.
Trey Lance is number one. Never got the job back. Now, he didn't play very well in game one, I didn't think. Really made a bad decision late in the game. But in his defense, it was terrible conditions. Is Brock Purdy, to me, if you're QB1 mm-hmm. on this team, you to me, the expectations are you could have two, three, four bad games. If you're healthy, it's you're the guy.
Interestingly enough, as I'm looking at the schedule, Jason, I think I'm right here. The 49ers have three Monday Night Football games. Excuse me, two Monday Night Football games, two Sunday Night Football games. There's going to be a lot of spotlight on them. And to your point, they start out at Pittsburgh and at Los Angeles against the Rams. They come home against the Giants, Arizona, Dallas, so three in a row. And then they go to Cleveland, Minnesota, before coming home for Cincinnati, and then a bye week. Now, I can sit here and tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, man. Then we've got true or false, Jason. Barring injuries. Jay, weigh in on this. Barring injuries. San Francisco 49ers are not going to be underdogs until after the bye week. Let me just throw out the games. Are they favored at Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Are they favored in L.A. against the Rams?
Yeah.
Are they favored at home against the Giants?
Yeah.
At home against the Cardinals?
Yeah.
At home against the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it depends on how if they had lost a game or two.
Yeah.
But going in, sure.
Are they favored at Cleveland?
Yeah.
I think they are, too. I think that's the closest one along with Dallas. Here's the only one I have a question about. Are they favored at Minnesota? Again, to your point, but
right now,
yeah.
Are they favored at home against Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
Probably they're tough. Okay.
Bye. If they are, that's going to be a very right now, all things considered,
okay.
That spread's going to be.
But if to Jason's got a valid point.
But they're
home. Let's just call it right now.
Yeah.
A favorite at Cincinnati. All right. Week 9, bye week. Now we're into November. At Jacksonville?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Home Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Yeah.
At Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah. I think the first time they would be dogs.
At Philly?
Would be at Philly.
Yeah.
December 3rd.
Right now. I think, if they had a preseason, they're favorite in every game but that one.
And everyone. You could probably make an argument for them to be slight favorites in that game if you really wanted to, dive deep and do that.
Yeah, you could.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think Philly definitely would have it, but.
After that, by the way, just for funsies, home Seattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At Arizona.
Yeah.
Home Baltimore.
Yeah.
At Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Home Rams.
Yeah.
That's the expectations. When you break it down one by and again, I'll keep belaboring Jason's point.
That's 16-1 just based upon our math there.
16-1 based upon what Vegas would put down as odds today.
Correct.
Now
some of those spreads might be close.
Of course. Of course. I think Dallas at home would be close.
I think if it were in Dallas, you might be favoring.
I agree
Dallas
with you. I agree with you. I think they generally say it's a field goal swing home and away. I think they'd probably be
4 or 5 point favorites.
And I was going to say 1.5 to 2 point dogs in Dallas. I think Minnesota is a question. Bottom line is this. That's the expectation.
Yeah.
There's one game on the schedule that today they would not be favored in. That would be 16-1. Obviously, some of those teams that we think are going to be tough are not.
Yeah.
Some of those teams that we're looking at, they're going to be the scrappy up-and-comers.
Right.
Who's that team on that schedule?
Cleveland. I think.
Is it because of Deshaun Watson?
I think it's because Deshaun Watson in the second year. Myles Garrett's a beast. Nick Chubb is you can sit here and make a fun argument that Nick Chubb might be the best pure running back in the sport. I think this is the year where he takes that mantle from Derrick Henry full time. You know, Cleveland is I don't know. I mean, again, putting your faith in Cleveland is a little interesting, but they also have Amari Cooper.
I think Baltimore might be that squad on that.
I think that's interesting. I don't know that I trust their receiving core is the problem. I don't know that I trust their skill positions outside of Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, to be honest with you. I'm J.K. Dobbins is banged up. Rashad Bateman's banged up. They got Odell Beckham Jr. How much does he have left? And Zay Flowers go with Mark Andrews. And then what, Nelson Aguilar behind him? Beckham's 30. I'm not saying you're wrong, Jay. I'm just saying that's my worry with them.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine worry. It's always injuries with that team. Had that team been healthy around Lamar, especially when you talk about the receiving core, I mean, we're having different conversations about the Ravens. Hell, if Lamar's been healthy, we're having different conversations about the Ravens.
So from the 530, and you can always text. We don't love the text line enough at 916-339-1140. There is a great point. Didn't Brock technically finish that playoff game? I guess that's – didn't he come back and, like, hand the ball off a bunch? Oh, so I think he's – you know what I mean. But yeah. I'll give points for accuracy there. But here's a valid question. Don't you think Brock Purdy's going to struggle perhaps in his second year after coordinators have film on him? I think that's a perfectly fair thing. But I also think they have 9 games of film on him. I don't think it takes like that long to pick up film and trends and adjust. Maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. Not 9. Not 8. Not 9.
Yeah. I just think it's funny where the team is at. Like when I was doing the stats just for him as a starter, 208 yards per game, which is
that's
as a starter. 7-1, 66% completion. That's good. And then 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So he made the plays that he needed, got the ball to the people that they needed to. But, like, those stats aren't incredible, but they're fine. But then it's like, oh, he's just kind of managing the game. Yes.
Yes.
That doesn't have to be a negative term.
No, there's nothing wrong with being a game manager if you're winning.
The other side I always go to when it comes to the whole film thing, right? Like you said, there's a good sample size out there already. And when it comes to great teams, there's film on all of them. Uh-huh. You know, there's a lot of film on the 49ers offense, what Kyle Shanahan likes to do.
Yep.
When you have that level of talent, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Yeah. And the other thing that, you know, when people say they have film on them, the other part that most teams do that I've heard of is I bet the Niners spent the offseason, too, rewatching their own games and saying, oh, wow, looks like on 3rd and 4, we tend to do this. Like, they've got to figure out what their own tendencies are because that's what the other teams are doing. So you kind of counter-scout yourself. And so they got to figure that out and figure out some of the things that Purdy's been doing.
And every year we see with Kyle Shanahan, there's always a new wrinkle, right? There's always something different. And that's one of the great things, and I think that's why he is, you know, when you look at it from head coaches, yeah, we can put the whole idea of, well, he hasn't won the big one yet. Kyle Shanahan is a top 5 coach in the NFL. Like, I feel very comfortable in saying that, especially the way he schemes on offense.
Well, as we break then, guys, I would say this. There is also a possibility that Brock Purdy's numbers outside of touchdowns to interceptions are skewed because we don't know how much of a leash Kyle Shanahan had on Brock Purdy until he trusted him. What we do know is this. There's nothing wrong with a 67.1% completion percentage.
Right.
And Jay, hear me out on this. 67.1% completion percentage for Brock Purdy. The number one quarterback in the NFL in yards per pass thrown is Tua Tagovailoa at 8.9. Number 3, Patrick Mahomes at 8. Number 2 is Brock Purdy at 8.3. You combine that with his completion percentage, may not work out, but that's a little bit of a hint that there's more to Brock Purdy than we saw last year because they were a little nervous about him. It'll be interesting to see what Kyle does. We'll take a break. When we come back, NBA money flying all over the place. Let's look a little bit more at Jaylen Brown. Break that down. And does that make you feel better about the Kings contracts? We'll do that next.
It's Whitey and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Twitter's pretty solid. If you'd leave it alone.
Like, why can't there just be like an app for sports specifically?
What all the discords?
Takes. How about that?
As for the Takes app, Chris Watkins.
just got a slap in the face of reality here. How's it going?
It already exists.
What?
It's Whitey and Watkins from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sacktown Sports. Carmichael Dave.
He has very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
Hey, welcome back.
Okay.
Just over an hour from now, we'll have a Whitey and Watkins in with a little bit.
Yeah.
Crosstalk in. Crosstalk. We still have who's out, who's not. We got to go streaking. All kinds of stuff coming up. Let's talk about Jaylen Brown. He is rich.
Paid.
He's rich. Richest deal in NBA history. 5 years, $304 million. Someday we'll look at that and go, wow, these guys are underpaid.
I don't think so.
The only reason I say that, not, maybe not necessarily underpaid, but like, you're old enough. I'm old enough. Remember, now that it's the same thing, but like, remember John Konkak? Konkak?
Konkak.
Remember his deal?
3-2-1 Konkak.
We were like, oh my God. I still think I have a, didn't Sports Illustrated do a cover once with Ricky Henderson on it? And the whole point of the cover was Ricky Henderson, the $3 million man. I'm almost positive I used to have that cover on my wall.
Also, screw John Konkak. I was at a Kings-Hawks game when I was a kid, and he flipped off the crowd at our
Oh, you don't do that.
He's not John Contract.
Yeah.
Stay classy, John.
Yeah, I mean, you're making that kind of scratch.
Yeah.
And, you know, someday, how long are we away until, like, Kevin Garnett's like, man, I wish I had played now. I'd have made some real money.
Yeah.
I saw this yesterday. It's funny you say that. They're like, Jaylen Brown in his final year of his deal, which is like $69 million, is going to make more than that 08 Celtics championship team starting lineup combined, which was like 62.
Wow.
I mean, but that's the way it is. And you know what? I guarantee you there are mathematics out there that would illustrate that just from a pure numerical standpoint, not you, sir, or you, ma'am, listening right now, going to, you know, your job, getting paid your whatever, going, how are they? They're playing a game. Oh, I get it.
Right.
But based simply on what the franchises bring in.
Yeah, the revenue that is. Yeah.
Right. Like for example, I can tell you right now, we go over and we're like, well, what are the best value contracts in the NBA? What are the best values in the whole entire NBA? Well, I'll tell you right now, absolutely without a doubt, the best value in the NBA will make $47.6 million next year, and that's LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Numerically speaking,
yeah,
he is probably underpaid by about $55 million.
I think yesterday or for next year, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's 10th in the league now.
He is. Let's see.
If it was updated. I read some thing where they had him roughly number 10 next year.
Yeah, I think it's a different way to look at it because as of right now, they've got him in a tie for third.
Okay.
Next year it will be, according to this right here, right now, Steph at 51.9, followed by Durant and Nikola Jokic. Actually, he's in a big tie, all around $47.6 million, Joel Embiid. But maybe that's average. Remainder of the contract.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was because actually I think Durant was 11. I went, wow. And the Suns were the one team I think that had two people in the top 10, and it wasn't Durant. It was Beal and Booker.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then three in the top 11.
Yeah.
But it does make you feel, I mean, to me, like contractually, I think the Kings are in a pretty good position.
I think they're in a wonderful
For the
spot.
Last couple of years they have been. And there was a time where they weren't. And it's just, it's much better, even with contracts that they've adjusted. You know, Sabonis got a huge increase. Fox has already been paid, and feels like their contract situation's way better than a lot of teams.
They have Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, DeMontis Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Sasha Vezenkov, and Davion Mitchell. All under contract, including either a team option or qualifying offer. They're all under contract for next year, the year after, mm-hmm. and the year after.
Wow.
for a minimum. That doesn't count Sabonis, and you know they've got him for 2 years after that. And I'm just going to do some rough math here, Jason, on the fly, so forgive me. They have Sabonis and Fox. Let's just say, well, let's just count next year. They got all these guys under contract for, let's see, 62, 79, 89, 95. Add in Murray, that's 103. Add in Lyles, that's 111. Vezenkov, 117. Mitchell, 123. These are simply, if you're talking about basketball economics, these are phenomenal contracts. Mm-hmm. Their core is locked. They're the only outstanding part of their core that is not locked beyond next season is Malik Monk.
Yeah.
And they're going to have room to sign Malik Monk.
Yeah, and there were times before where the Kings were in this situation, not that long ago, where they had kind of Fox secured, Barnes, Buddy Hield, and others. I'm like, well, Bogey. I said, well, this is fine, but this has got to be the group that turns the corner.
Sure.
And they weren't the group that turned the corner. So you feel better about the situation now because they had such a great year last year, and it looks like everything's pointing in a positive direction.
And the great thing in the NBA, too, is – there's no, you know, the Kings go out and win the championship next year, and Fox has 55 points a game. All right, whatever. There's no, like, contract renegotiations. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, oh, I need a new deal. They don't have to deal with any of the crap the NFL does, and neither does baseball, which is why the NFL is so screwy and why that Players Association sucks so bad, because you wouldn't have this issue either. In the NFL, if you didn't have, you wouldn't have franchise tags, you wouldn't have renegotiations, you wouldn't have all of this. Just adopt the same method. Just guarantee everything. Yeah. But, you know, that's too difficult. When you look at Jaylen Brown, who just signed a 5-year, $304 million deal, here's how much he actually earns. We tried to do this a little bit the other day. Mm-hmm. So his salary per year will be $60.8 million. Now, Andrew Petcash is a guy, a good follow on Twitter, Jay pointed out, that breaks down a lot of these contracts. Of that $60.8 million, $22.5 million is going to go to the United States of America.
Mm, that's nice.
I wonder what the average person, like, if they averaged it all out, all take out the unemployed and all that, like working people, the average federal tax per year, 20 grand. Here's my question. Does Jaylen Brown get, like, 22 million more votes because he's paying in more? Probably not, right? NBA escrow. Now, as I understand this, this NBA escrow is you put it all in there and then you get it back at the end of the year. So, or at the end of your career, or in, you know, it has to vest and this and that, whatever. So this is a little bit misleading because $6 million per year will go into escrow, but you're getting that back.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let's just count that. The agent will get $1.8 million
nice
a year.
Payday.
I am very confident that you or I could have negotiated that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have done it for $1 million a year.
Yeah, I've done it for the point eight.
I would 100% have done. I would have done it for the point one.
Yeah,
give me $100K a year to handle that. Medicare $1.4 million, because I'm sure he'll need that. And then what's called a jock tax, just in case it's not something you're paying on your athletic supporter. It's when Jaylen Brown goes and plays. You know, the Celtics come to Sacramento and play, whatever his game check is for that day, let's just say it's $100,000 for funsies.
Far more than that.
Far more than that, but easy math. Then he's going to have to pay the equivalent of the state tax for California on the money he earned in California. That's called a jock tax, $1.8 million a year, and the Massachusetts state tax, $2.7 million
per year.
Man,
he needs to renegotiate.
I think so. $60.8 million in salary, but take home $24.5 million a year. Even if you extrapolate and add in that $6 million for NBA escrow, that's $30.5 million per year. Let's take the $24.5 million, though, Jason. That's take home, by the way.
Right.
So $24.5 million. Okay, so that's $24 million. Oh, can I even do this? Yeah, I can. $24.5 million, because this is where I think the exercise becomes fun and also depressing for the rest of us. And you divide that by Well, I would say 12, but I'll say 24 because you get two paychecks a month, just like you and
most people do. Yeah.
Imagine getting a check every 2 weeks for $1,020,833.
Better not be living paycheck to paycheck.
I will tell you this. My Friday celebration meal would be completely probably the same, actually.
You would get a fifth pack of ranch.
Can I borrow $1 million? I can pay you back in 2 weeks. I would get a fifth pack of ranch. I wouldn't even care. And you know what? I would probably still bitch about them charging me for ranch. We will take a break when we come back. Who's hot and who's not as the show continues? Don't forget Niners at 9 on your home of the Niners, SacktownSports.com.
Jimmy G and the Raiders take on the 49ers Sunday, August 13th from Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
And Sacktown Sports has all your coverage.
Kyle's offense versus Josh's offense, just different mindset behind it. So I think revamping the mind like that is the first step, and then just relearning the language. Basically like going Spanish to French, something like that.
The voice of the Niners, Greg Papa, has the kickoff at 1 p.m. on Sacktown Sports.
Your home for the 49ers.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Hey, fellers.
Yeah?
Who's hot?
Who's
hot?
Jason, I'm just going to pre-warn you. You might want to cover your ears this entire segment.
Oh, boy.
Pete Alonso is hot. He's the sixth Mets player to hit a two-run home run at Yankee Stadium and the first since Jose Reyes in 2010.
Wow, double.
Alonso and Carlos Delgado in 2008 are the only times a player on the road has two home runs and five RBI in a Subway Series game on either side.
What does that sound like?
The 1-1 drilled in the air to deep center. Bader going back at the track, at the wall. He can't get
it's
it.
Foul.
It's a home run. Pete Alonso. Right out at Monument
That's
Park.
That's how it sounded.
Straight away center field. Alonso's second home run of the game.
Check the bat.
Check the bat.
Hey, who's not?
Before you get to who's not, just real quick, you remember earlier you asked, or one of you guys asked, does baseball have the weirdest stats? Here's one that somebody threw out yesterday, and I'm like 94% true. Think it's true. Pete Alonso and the DH for the Mets. What's his face? Daniel Vogelbach are now officially the heaviest hitters to ever go back to back in a game.
Nice.
270 and 245. For a grand,
Alonso's only 270.
No, Alonso is 245. Vogelbach is 6 foot 270.
That's what I said. He's only 270. He looked bigger.
And Pete Alonso is 6'3", 245.
There's no way Vogelbach is only 270.
515 pounds between the two of them.
Vogelbach to Bach.
Wow.
Nice.
That was well done. Who's not?
Carlos Rodon.
Rodon. Wow.
He'll take the mound for the Yankees tonight against the Mets.
Oh,
seeking...
hold on. Former Giant.
Yes.
Double hand.
Get him.
Yeah.
Seeking his first win in pinstripes. Last time out, Rodon became the fourth Yankee pitcher to go 0-3 with an ERA over 7 in his first three games in the Bronx. Also blew a kiss out to Yankee fans booing him. I don't think that's going to end well.
You can't do that. You can't blow kisses to Yankee fans.
Maybe he'll actually pitch with his left arm today.
Should he get brushed back for that?
If he were ever to bat.
Rodon?
If he were to ever bat, hypothetically.
From speaking. The dugout. Just throw one in there.
Remember in Field of Dreams, he said, don't wink, kid. Well, what's a kiss?
Imagine Not a wink?
Imagine if Moonlight Graham had blown a kiss to whoever that, what was the old term? I saw in Bugs Bunny, the Palooka.
Remember Palooka?
Do you know that Bugs Bunnies are now on, they're on HBO Max. You can watch all the old Bugs Bunnies and Looney Tunes and stuff. Honestly, to take a nap the other day, I threw on Looney Tunes. When was the last time you watched a full Bugs Bunny cartoon?
Like I don't know.
Seven.
Guys, give
but
us.
But they're very enjoyable.
I was just going to say, let me give a suggestion to everybody. If you have Max, they're free. If not, look them up on YouTube. But there was something weirdly comforting. The music and the car. Yeah. And this sucker was
feel
made,
about Tom and Jerry.
Discomforting.
Classic. Yeah.
Right? 1944 is when this cartoon was made, and it's just like it was yesterday. that I was watching it because I wasn't around in 1944.
But it put you to sleep, apparently.
So Carlos, it did.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's, right now, it's either Looney Tunes or a Brunch with Bobby.
What's Brunch with Bobby?
Bobby Flay used to have a show.
Not a Bobby Flay guy.
Really?
No, ever since Ari's wife was, pseudo cheating.
Oh, an Entourage?
Yeah.
That was great. Bobby was great in that one. Bobby Flay did bad acting playing Bobby Flay. It's like the old Seinfeld
so
bit.
So bad.
That was maybe my favorite Seinfeld bit because I'm not like I don't know Seinfeld bits that well, but I think Jerry Seinfeld was on Johnny Carson one time. He's like, I should win the Emmy every year. Johnny's like, well, okay. And he's like, I play myself. How is anyone going to act a part better? I'm playing Jerry Seinfeld.
He didn't win.
But yeah, Bobby Flay, Brunch with Bobby. He cooks brunch.
Okay.
True or false, brunch is the coolest meal of the week. If you have it. If you have it. Brunch is great.
Why is it different than breakfast?
Because it's breakfast and lunch. It's like it can be savory breakfast. And it's Sunday and everything's nice.
Is it just because you eat it later?
Yeah.
Like, is it different than
It's there's nothing really lunchy about it.
Yeah.
It can be. There
are
can
you
be
having
savory
a
stuff.
Sandwich?
No. Well, you could. You could have
you could, yes, but you generally have, like, eggs and bacon or something.
2 days ago, dude, Bobby Flay did an open-face poblano chili and egg sandwich.
Yeah, that's breakfast.
What's the hesitation with putting a hat on it? Why don't we have it close-faced?
I don't know.
You already went to one piece of bread.
Why don't people make more triple deckers like a Big Mac, but with toasts in the middle, sandwich?
Club sandwich, yeah.
Why don't they?
Yeah.
Also, revelation last night. One of the biggest arguments we have in my household is I, not all the time, but sometimes love Sloppy Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sloppy Joe's.
Yes, classic.
And I love Manwich Sloppy Joe's.
Okay.
Or, I mean, Personwich, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I love them.
Yeah. Careful. This is getting very much in this territory.
Giant dong last night. That thing was huge. That thing. Did you see the highlight? Oh, my God.
Okay. Say, that's where you're starting to go.
Can I just say?
That's like a voice from heaven.
Giant dong last night. That thing was huge.
Can I just?
That thing. Did you see the highlight? Oh, my
I
God.
Did.
I want to make it incredibly clear that I have nothing to do with the replay of that whatsoever.
You
I have
hit
no
the
control
button.
Over that. I did not.
Yes, you
I did say
We're
it.
Talking about home runs.
I was talking about a home run, and you immatures took it out of context. Let's talk to Mitch.
Oh.
Hey, Mitch.
I wanted to know about
Hello?
Me. Yeah.
Oh, Sloppy Joe's to be continued.
Okay.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey.
Hey. Good
morning, guys.
Morning.
You guys are quicker on the trigger than me, but then I'm older than you, so you go figure that out.
Yeah,
yeah, well,
we will.
We're talking about, what is his face?
Giant dong. Giant dong.
Yeah, okay.
Giant dong.
What's on your mind today, Mitch?
So, that went over my head. But
that's sure it went over mine, too.
Yeah.
Wait.
Undermine.
Yeah, go.
Hey, just about the 49ers. I think any of these three quarterbacks can start. Can't wait to see what Trey's like. I still blame Sam Darnold. Man, I'm a little biased here because USC. Let's not put Purdy that he's a Hall of Famer already. He's so good. I mean, he had one pretty good year. I can't wait to see any of them. If you could put in Dilfer, I think team is going to win.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a very good season, I think.
I agree.
Yeah,
and I'm sure Debo is saying that he's a wide receiver now. He didn't want to be associated with the running backs now because I guess you could say Jacobs is the last guy who could stand up to the NFL, take a stand, and that's cave in because it's terrible to say that if you play this position, we're not gonna protect you and you won't get paid long term. But we do have two good running backs, by the way. Deep back to you. Anyway, thanks for indulging me and everything. Thanks a lot.
You got it.
All right. Hey, you take care, Mitch. Thank you. We should get that sponsor.
Should. Mitch's call.
Mitch's call brought to you by Clear Channel.
What about
brought to you by Subtitles.
Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe's. So my wife hates Sloppy Joe's. So much like TV viewing in the household, if my wife doesn't like it, generally she wins. But you know what? Credit to my wife. She went out, and I found there in the cupboard, she brought it out yesterday afternoon. I said, what's for dinner? She goes, look on the counter. There's two cans of Sloppy Joe's and a couple pounds of ground beef. And she had the hamburger buns and all that. And here's how we do the Sloppy Joe's. We make them extra fat. We do Sloppy Joe's.
Fat Joe.
It is a Fat Joe. Because We also spread some mayonnaise on the bottom of the bun, you know, on the bottom bun, American cheese, and then you put the sloppy Joe on top so it kind of melts the cheese.
Yeah.
And then you just, you pound that thing, right? It was amazing. So my wife started making, I had to take a phone call. My wife starts the sloppy Joes, and here's where I almost lost it, because she was trying to do a really nice thing, but she browns the ground beef, and I come in as she's adding in the cans of Manwich, right? She didn't drain the ground beef. So she added in the Manwich with the drained ground beef.
The grease.
And I wanted to be like, it's going to be a soup. But she was doing something nice. So anyways, we all have hamburger buns. She has these Dutch crunch rolls that she bought for sandwiches over the weekend. She puts her sloppy Joe on the Dutch crunch roll, and she's eating that. So we're watching that thing you do,
yeah,
eating sloppy Joes as a family. I turn to my wife and I say, hey, I want you to know I appreciate, I know you don't like sloppy Joes. She goes, actually, I think it was just the bread. I like this. I go, 16 years of marriage and you're telling me what was stopping you from liking sloppy Joes was a hamburger bun that you eat on hamburgers? Yeah.
Maybe it was the extra grease that was still in the sauce.
It was very soupy. But here's what I do know. When I get home, there is going to be
drain it?
Well, no, because she put it in the fridge in the Tupperware thing. So what's going to happen?
Oh, that top layer.
It's going to congeal into like a fat cube.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take that fat cube out, put it in a can, because what a great thing to snack on.
Yes.
And then I've got sloppy Joes for lunch.
You take that sloppy Joe toupee top right off.
I lop it right off.
Loppy Joe.
Yes, Madame Defarge in the Tale of Two Cities. Just lop it off the top, throw it in an ice cube tray, and freeze it for later. As we go to break, public service announcement. If you're reheating sloppy Joes, always, always, always take a paper towel and cover them, because they splatter.
Yeah, you don't want a dirty microwave.
You don't want to clean that up. Yeah. We'll take a break when we come back. Niners at 9. Let's look at the defensive players and the special teams a little bit on the Niners. David Lombardi did a deep dive there. Also, David Lombardi shots at Sacramento Airport on Twitter. That's a fact. We'll tell you what that's about next.
Catch the Oakland A's every weekend on Sactown Sports. Friday nights, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Thinking that's going to get down for a hit. Around third, your score is Tony Kemp. And the A's have taken the lead. Edge of the track, makes the catch. And the Athletics get a great win.
Sactown Sports, your weekend home for the Oakland A's.
Sactown Sports coverage of the Oakland A's is brought to you by Xfinity 10G, the next generation network.